Now please turn again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we consider this morning's message, the minister's joy and hope. The minister's joy and hope refers to those who serve the Lord in preaching, in evangelism, in speaking, including all who are witnesses for the Lord. Now, when we use the word minister in Singapore's context, of course, we think of ministers who head various ministries. And I have here an imaginary conversation between three ministers. Minister of Education. We ask him, what is your joy and hope in your service for the community? He says, our joy and hope, or my aspiration, is that our educational system may impart superior knowledge to students, to enlighten their mind with the arts and sciences, to make better future citizens of Singapore. Minister of National Development, what is your aspiration, your joy and hope? Well, he says, we want to give everybody a roof over his head. In our high-rise housing, every Singaporean will have a mansion in the sky as we continue to upgrade and make life more pleasant and gracious in Singapore. Now, the Minister of Finance, what is your aspiration or hope? Well, he says, our business is to increase national wealth, right? To make everybody richer, so that today there are so many people who are in the millionaire category. To give opportunity for investments, shares for all, so that everyone in Singapore will feel better. Now, dear friends, all these are very worthy, commendable, but all their objective is for the here and now in Singapore, in this life. We want to consider something beyond. As ministers of the gospel, as preachers, our joy and hope is beyond earth, beyond the present, something which endures unto eternity. And for that, God has provided us with ministers of the gospel, ministers of Jesus Christ, meaning to say servants, witnesses, messengers of the good news, that there is something beyond dollars and cents, beyond gracious living, beyond better housing, better education, better transport and communications. All these things are good and important, but let us take our minds to a different wavelength. Please turn to Acts chapter 26 to share with the writer of the epistle to the Thessalonians his call to be a minister of the gospel. Acts chapter 26, the testimony of Paul the apostle in verse 15, where he relates his encounter, that wonderful experience on the road to Damascus. Verse 15, the second part, the Lord Jesus speaks to Paul, at that time Saul of Tarsus, and Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Notice this. A minister is a servant of God. And the servant of God is a witness. We do not come with our own ideas or man's philosophy or any kind of concoction or invention. The Lord says to him, I have appeared unto thee to make thee a minister, my servant, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. The witness is to tell what he has heard, what he has seen, what he has experienced from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. What is his purpose? Verse 18 says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. A different kind of education. It is important to have secular education, that the ignorance of darkness be dispelled by learning. But in verse 18 is a different education. And this only servants of the Lord Jesus Christ can do through the word of God. Verse 18 again. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That sums up for us the purpose and function and, of course, the joy and hope of every minister of the gospel. To open blind eyes, to see the light of God. Once we were blind, before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ and have his word shine into our hearts, we could not see. Now we have the light. And this gospel delivers from the power of Satan to turn people to God and to receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance by faith in Christ. What is the minister of the gospel's aspiration? This, as simply stated, are our goals, our joys and hope. As a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, my one calling and mission is to be a messenger. For that reason, the traveling that has been done. Tomorrow, my wife and I, God willing, will leave you once again, and this time for about 5 to 6 Sundays. Once again, we go with your prayers. Please pray that God will give us the joy and the hope of serving him. It is for a higher purpose. We go to encourage the believers and to preach the gospel and to encourage them to be servants and witnesses wherever they are. Our first stop will be London. There we have the church in Kilburn. And there we have Dr. Patrick Tan and Pastor Vincent He. And we shall be having fellowship for 3 Sundays. What for? In order that we may enlarge the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may proclaim the gospel, that we may spread the knowledge of the Most High God and the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Riches that far surpass any kind of earthly riches. That the people who hear in London, and we are getting now a few of the locals, praise the Lord, not only students, not only migrants, but some of the local English people are coming, so that they may receive the unsearchable riches of Christ and coming into this knowledge of the Most High God may receive an inheritance far better than what we may get through the good ministers we have in Singapore. Our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ is incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for all of us. This is our everlasting investments, better than all the stocks and shares you can ever have. So this is the minister's hope and joy. Paul's aspiration is our aspiration. Paul's hope and joy is ours, to continue to proclaim the gospel of grace and to preach the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. To the saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Those hearing will be called to become a people of God, to be raised up as citizens of heaven, out of the poverty and misery of sin, into the glorious riches of God's grace. Now please turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to read for you again the same passage which we had read a moment ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul, writing to the Thessalonian Christians, speaks to us today that we would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the church of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Pause here and think. Thessalonica, where the Christians in this chapter are, was the second great city that Paul evangelized. You remember that he received the call to Macedonia. Now the first city was Philippi, and there Lydia and her family household were saved and brought into the kingdom of God. But very soon there came persecution, riots, and Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. Now God has his better plan, for in prison God worked a great miracle that night through an earthquake, and due to this, the Philippian jailer and his household were saved. Now Paul and Silas met persecution in Philippi, so much so that they had to flee to Thessalonica, and there began this new work. Another church was formed, so that the believers there could know the gospel and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering follows those who are willing to serve the Lord, but God is always there to save. And Paul and Silas were delivered to Thessalonica. Now, let us see verse 3 in chapter 1. Here the believers in Thessalonica, Paul says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus. These Christians in Thessalonica also met with opposition, with persecution, but they stood firm. Verse 6, and they became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place Your faith towards God is spread abroad. When believers are fully convinced of the truth of the gospel, they not only became followers, but they became witnesses. And from them, verse 8 says, they sounded out the word of God to the other regions in Macedonia and Achaia. This is Paul's greatest joy. The joy and hope of the minister of the gospel is when new converts not only are faithful, steadfast in their following of the Lord Jesus, but able to go forth and to spread that good word beyond their shores. Thank God for this ministry that we have been given to go around the world, go and sow the gospel seed. A minister of the gospel keeps on sowing. And this is the lesson we have learned wherever we go. You know, we go and sow in tears, but reap in joy. So the word of God says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We do not see this immediately. Like, for example, in Sydney, 15 years ago, we had been having meetings. Every visit to Sydney, we had meetings in homes, hopefully praying that God will start the work in Sydney. I say those days were days of sowing, sowing seeds of the gospel, and various families came to us. Now, 15 years later, God sends Elder Koh down and a church is formed. And all those families that had been meeting with us over the years have come with other new families. They have formed a Bible-believing church. God's word is never proved to be void, but it will return to him with great effect. So here we see this church now growing up, reaping, rejoicing that we have a new church. 2 days ago, I received a call, and I want to share this experience with you. A call from a certain Mr. Teo, from his daughter. And she said, 30 years ago, you used to take us to church. Now my father wants to believe. 30 years ago, my wife and I had been transporting 3 children to Sunday school, to Life Church. And I did not know what happened afterwards, but now I know this young girl, at that time a child of about 8 or 9, was baptized in Life Church, emigrated to America, and now returned with her husband because the father had a stroke. So she says, father has a stroke. Will you please come and see him? I say, of course. So I went with my brother, and Reverend Timothy Toll examined him. I say, the seed sown 30 years ago has borne fruit. Those days, every Sunday, and I want to encourage those who do this, transporting children to Sunday school. Those days it seemed to be a bit of a chore. Yes, every Sunday we take them, go to their homes, take them to Sunday school. Who is to know that 30 years later, the father, because of those early days, has found salvation? I want to read to you his letter. This Mr. Teo says, 3 years ago, I found grace of God, and I am pleased to quote to you the prayer from C.H. Spurgeon. In this letter, which he wrote to the daughter 3 years ago, he says, this is the letter by C.H. Spurgeon, which I pray morning and night. Who is to know that this man from an idol-worshipping family was quietly praying to God the prayer of salvation? Listen to this. Every individual believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. A shepherd would not lose one sheep. A jeweler will not lose one diamond, nor a mother one child, nor a man one limb of his body, nor will the Lord lose one of his redeemed people. Knowing this, this is my prayer. Lord, whether I live long or not, I leave it to thee. But help me to live while I live, that I may live much. Thou canst give life more abundantly. Let me receive it, and let my life be filled, yea, packed, crammed with all manner of holy thoughts and words and deeds. And it says, my dearest daughter, this is my prayer, morning and night. So on 2 days ago, that is on Thursday, we examine him very clear about his salvation. I am a Christian, and he was baptized. They that go forth bearing precious seed and weeping shall surely come bearing the precious harvest with him. Now, I share with you the work that is being done in Saipan. 6 years ago, we sent Brother Pang Kok Hiong to be a minister of the gospel, to sow the gospel seed in Saipan. On Easter Sunday, he baptized 53 mainland Chinese converts saved by the power of the resurrected Christ. Here are some testimonies which testify to the power of the gospel. This man, a manager of a company in China, and you know that they do not earn much, and Saipan is attractive because they earn American dollars. So this man called Brother Su wrote his testimony. After graduating from the university, I was posted to the City Development Authority. As a government official, I did nothing but enjoy life every day. Drinking, gambling, womanizing were some of the things that I did, hoping to fill the emptiness in my life. I always thought that when I am rich and hold a high post in society, I would become the happiest man in the world. But I was terribly mistaken. The more I indulged, the more I became despondent and miserable and disillusioned. Then I thought to come to Saipan Island to earn my money. One day his friends brought him to the Chinese Christian Church and heard the gospel from Pastor Pang Kok Hiong. As the word of God was given out, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I struggled in my heart, for I was taught that all these years in China, they taught me there is no such thing as God. Man came by evolution. And I looked down on Christians and scorned them. However, one sister, despite my blasphemies, shared the gospel with me. And she gave me a book entitled Knowing God, which I read from cover to cover. One day, I was convicted and I was horrified of my sins, and I quickly repented before the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I have experienced the new life in Christ, eternal life that is so different. Different from all his imaginations before, I am now a changed man, he says. I want to share this with you about Jesus Christ and living for him. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Dear friends, your prayers for the work in Saipan are not in vain. Continue to pray for our brother Pang Kok Hiong, that he, as the minister of the gospel in these past 6 years, has preached the gospel to thousands, and more than 600 have come to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the aspiration of every minister of the gospel. Now, another testimony. A lady lawyer also came to Saipan. Why should a lawyer give up doing law in China? She came as a garment factory worker. And this time she was baptized at Easter. Before she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, she was full of bitterness, emptiness, jealousy, hatred. And she resigned her job as a lawyer to become a seamstress because she knew she would get American dollars. Now she writes, "Now that I am here and have earned my American dollars, I feel as empty as before. Still full of the same bitterness, jealousy, and hatred. Money and social status cannot fulfill my heart's desire, after all, as I thought. I have been very self-centered and proud of myself. When I came to this Chinese church, I was very amused to hear new things. God, creation, forgiveness of sins, Savior dying for me. All these were new to me. I thought all these were mere legends, fables, fairy tales, fit for children at bedtime only. However, the love and care of the Christians here amazed me." Dear friends, these are the aspirations of witnesses for all of you. As you witness, remember the word of God that goes out has power. Not your words, but the words of God. So this woman was touched because someone cared. Those in the church went out to her. So should we. Now she continues, "What power has changed the lives of my colleagues here, some of them?" She could observe how her colleagues, because of the gospel, changed their life. Those who had been bitter and jealous against me, she could see the difference in them after they were converted. So they even came to me with love and forgiveness, which I could not resist. Oh, dear friends, no arguments, no debate. Only the love of Christ can move a heart and touch the heart to repentance. So she says, "My heart was finally convinced when I heard that God sent his son Jesus to die for me on the cross, and that he is willing to forgive a woman such as I am, so unworthy, so useless, and yet God has a plan for her. God wants to save her." We want to think of the key verse in closing. Please look at verse 19. Verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Paul asks this question, which we all ask ourselves. What is your hope, your joy, your crown of rejoicing? Dear Christian friends, are you serving the Lord? Are you witnessing? You ask me what for. You say, "What is our hope, our joy, the crown of rejoicing? What is there for me if I serve the Lord, here it is. Are not even you, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? What have we to show to the Lord Jesus when He comes? This is Paul's greatest joy, because everywhere he goes, he spends and is spent for the sake of the gospel, in order that some may hear, some may turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and some may come to the knowledge of salvation and brought into the everlasting kingdom of God. Now these are our hope, our joy, our aspiration, our crown of rejoicing at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, what have we to show? Dear friends, Calvary has many open doors of service. Please consider Perth, many opportunities to serve. We have received news that the pastor there is not going back. Yes, Pastor Peter Tsung is resigning. There is work to be done. Young people, think of what God can use you, how He can use you in this day and age. What is your glory and your joy? University degree, a better livelihood in Singapore. All these, yes, are good and necessary, but I say there is something better. Think of Paul. Paul had everything to lose, he thought, until he came confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ. After that he says, now I count everything, all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but rubbish, but refuse, but dung, only to gain the Lord Jesus Christ and to become His servant. This is the greatest work that any man can do, to be a minister of the Most High God, a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is our hope? What is your joy or crown of rejoicing? On that day, Paul says, even you. And I say, dear friends, go, be His witnesses. Train up, prepare for the day when God can use you. God has much work for all of us, so that we may go, sow the seeds. Of course, some seeds will fall by the wayside. Some will fall on hard ground. Some will fall on thorny ground. But God will see and send you to sow on good ground, even as the case of Mr. Teo. After 30 years, now he's rejoicing in his house, paralyzed, sitting in a wheelchair, but gloriously saved, waiting for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be our joy and crown. All those you have brought to the Lord Jesus Christ are your joy and crown, your glory and rejoicing at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bless Thy holy name. We thank Thee for every opportunity of witness. We thank Thee for calling us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light. We thank Thee for calling us to be servants and witnesses and to be ministers of the gospel. I pray that Thou wouldst move some here to think and to consider how we may spend our lives for Thee, even for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, and soon to come back for us. Hear this our prayer. Speak to someone today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.